And besides, a train flashed past things so fast they barely had time to register on his consciousness before they were gone. The best way to travel was on foot or on horseback. If you came to a place and you were hungry or had to piss, you could just turn in and satisfy yourself. When the train came to that kind of place, it vanished in an instant blur. The book he had brought was Hospital Sketches, by a Massachusetts woman named Olcott, who had been nursing the wounded since the beginning of the war, and whose picture of the agony and terrible conditions in army hospitals was creating a stir in medical circles. Reading it made things worse, because it caused him to imagine the suffering that might be facing his brother, Bigger, who was missing in action as a Confederate scout. If, indeed, he reflected, Bigger wasn't among the nameless dead. That kind of thinking led him directly back to Pa, over a road of choking grief, and he began looking about him desperately. Near the front of the car, a skinny little boy started to vomit, and his mother, sitting white-faced among piles of bundles and three other small children, leapt to hold his forehead in order to keep him from soiling their belongings. When Shaman reached her, she had already started the unpleasant cleaning up. "Maybe I can help him. I'm a doctor." "No money to pay thee." He waved it aside. The boy was sweating after the paroxysm of nausea, but was cool to the touch. His glands weren't swollen, and his eyes seemed bright enough. She was Mrs. Jonathan Sperber, she said in answer to his questions, from Lima, Ohio, going to join her husband, homesteading with other Quakers in Springdale, 50 miles west of Davenport. The patient was Lester, 8 years old. Wan, but with color returning, he didn't appear to be gravely ill. "What's he been eating?" From a greasy flour sack, her reluctant hands took a homemade sausage. It was green, and his nose confirmed what his eyes told him. Jesus. Did you feed this to all of them?" She nodded, and he looked at her other young ones with respect for their digestions. "Well, you can't feed it to them anymore. It's gone way too high." Her mouth became a straight line. "Not so high. It's well salted. We've eaten worse. If it's that bad, the others would be sick, and so would I." He knew enough about homesteaders of whatever religious persuasion to hear what she was really saying. The sausage was all there was. They ate spoiled sausage or nothing. He nodded and walked back to his own seat. His food was in a cornucopia twisted from sheets of the Cincinnati commercial. Three thick sandwiches of lean beef on dark German bread, a strawberry jam tart, and two apples that he juggled for a few moments to make the children laugh. When he gave the food to Mrs. Sperber, she opened her mouth as though to protest, but then she closed it. A homesteader's wife needs a healthy dose of realism. "We are obliged to thee, friend," she said. Across the aisle, the blonde woman watched, but Shaman was trying the book again when the conductor came back.
"Say, I know you. It just come to me. Doc Cole's boy, from over to Holden's Crossing, right?"
"Right." Shaman understood it was his deafness that had identified him.
"You don't recall me. Frank Fletcher? Used to grow corn out there on the Hoopole Road. Your daddy took care of the seven of us for more than 6 years, till I sold out and joined the railroad, and we moved into East Moline. I remember sometimes when you was just a shadow, you'd come with him, behind him on the horse, holding on for dear life."
House calls had been the only way his father could spend time with his boys, and they had loved making house calls with him.
"I do recall you now," he told Fletcher, "and your place, white frame house, red barn with a tin roof, the original sod house you used for storage." "That was it, all right. Sometimes you came with him, sometimes your brother. What's his name?"
"Bigger." "Alex, my brother Alex."
"Yeah. Where's he at now?"
"Army." Not saying which one.
"Course he is. You studying to be a minister?"
the conductor said, eyeing the black suit that 24 hours earlier had hung on a rack in Seligman's store in Cincinnati. "No, I'm a doctor."